The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 21st day of February, 2022. And we have the Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have out there the Parson Joe Larson out yonder in Missouri.
The highly unpaid professional assistant is here, yes.
Joe, you're going to have to try to keep up with me tonight. We have a lot to cover, and I mean a tremendous amount to lot. So we're going to have to move very fast. One, I wanted to say tonight my sincere condolences go out to the family of Joe Zuma. We've been trying to contact Joe for 3 weeks. He had called me from a hospital in Ahuja, and when I had talked to him, and so when he wasn't calling, I was calling back, and he didn't answer his phone. He had two phones, and he wasn't answering his phone, and so finally we called the Ahuja, the hospital over there. And the people there told me they had no record of him being there, when I know he was there, okay? Well, we tried to find some other avenues of contacting him, and they failed. So I went over to his house today. I didn't know where he lived. I've known Joe for a long, long time. Well, I knew about where he lived, but I didn't know exactly. So I went over to his house today, and his neighbor told me he had died 3 weeks ago. That's about the time, you know, obviously he stopped calling us, because he called me just about 2 or 3 days a week. And so I just wanted to say for Joe, Joe was a very, very good longtime friend. He was a very, very pro-life patriot. He loved the Lord. Joe was a fellow, he was a statesman in my opinion. He put other people, always would put other people before himself. And he couldn't understand, though. He couldn't understand why he was suffering the way he did for so long. But he's not suffering anymore. And I'm still trying to find out if there was a funeral. I'm his pastor. Nobody contacted me at all. And when you go into these places, normally, Joe, you fill out a form and in case of you pass away. And he had told me that he had put me down to be contacted should anything happen to him, yet nobody contacted me. And, you know, one more of the saints, you know, have died. And, again,
well, it's suspicious when the hospital claims he wasn't there and he said he was in the hospital and told you which one. So
Yeah.
I
so this
him over the hospital. Sorry.
Oh, believe me, I do, too. And we're going to look into that. Now, again, my sincere condolences. If anybody out there listening know, I know Joe had one relative, Frank, but I think Frank passed away. He was his cousin a while back. We've tried to contact him, too. Couldn't do that. But, you know, the Patriots are dying off one by one. And again, I wanted to just say that, you know, today in a society out there of so many, especially in politics, lesser people, Joe was a greater person. And we're going to miss you, buddy. We do miss you. A lot of us miss you. But you're in a much better place now.
Amen to that.
So, and then we got another situation. I'm going to tell the folks out there tomorrow night I may need for you to, I might give a number out. I'm going to give them one day. Thursday, I went down to the prison hospital in Columbus and Franklin Hospital. And Joe, before we drove down there, and I mean it poured rain. It poured rain all the way down. I mean it rained all day. 3 hours, 3 hour drive. And before we left, we called to make sure that we let them know we were coming, and they said, "Yeah, you've got reservations, and we're waiting for you." So we went down there, and we get in there, Joe, and we waited for an hour and 15 minutes. Before a lieutenant comes down to tell us that Andre is in isolation and he can't have visitors. I was not a happy camper. They could have told us that. They could have told us that before we came down there.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5 hours before. Yeah, they had all kinds of opportunities. Even halfway down would have been better than have you wait there an hour after the 3 hour drive.
Right. And so,
almost like they were just trying to get even, isn't it?
Well, I don't really think the woman that I talked to, the corrections officer, she seemed like a very nice lady, and I don't think they let her know. I don't think anybody bothered to tell her. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, but I didn't think that was funny, Joe. Now,
no.
I put a call in. And I put it. See, they're supposed to call you back within 72 hours. I put several calls in, and they have not returned my call. Now, while I was there, I told this lieutenant, I said, when I leave here, I expect to hear from him. He says, well, right now there's count. I said, after count, I expect to hear from him. He calls me often. If I don't hear from him, then I'm going to think something's happened. He says, he will call you. He will call you. So he promised me. Well, he never did.
Yeah.
So I got a call into the troubleshooter who works with things like this, the liaison, and I left a message saying that I don't hear from him. There's going to be a real problem. Now, what I might do tomorrow night, if I don't hear from him tomorrow, you folks out there listening to me, okay, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your help. And this radio ministry has been there for many, many of you over the years. We do it every day. We come to the aid. I make phone calls. I talk to bosses of people who are being mistreated and so on. But I might need your help to call. If I give you that tomorrow night, I want to see 1,000 phone calls going into the governor's office. See, that's the only way you get things done in this state here. And if you do that, enough of you call that governor's office tomorrow. And I'm gonna wait till I hear from my contact. If that don't happen, then I want 1,000 people to call the governor's office, and I want somebody to be responsible, because I got a bad feeling that they don't want me to see him. I got a bad feeling. See, this is a Christian man, and they put a Satanist. He's an elderly man. 75 years old, and they put a Satanist into the cell with him. And a younger guy, and who attacked him and beat him. And so, folks, they do this stuff on purpose. They do it on purpose. So if I give you the word tomorrow, I want you to respond. Believe me, do I want you to respond. So, all right, after saying all that, we're going to do some prayer a little later on, because, you know, Baby Castro has brought UN troops. These are jackboot thugs. These are Hessians. They're the Hessians from Germany. He brought in the Hessians from Germany to go out to attack and persecute the patriots there. And so we're going to be talking about this a little later. But right now, we got to get into the message, Joe. And like I said, we have a very fast-paced program today. So, do you remember what the title of the message was?
He will destroy them that destroy the earth.
That's right. And that verse comes right out of Revelation chapter 11. But we're going to start tonight in Hosea 4. So would you read me Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3?
Sure. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. And you could change that verse 1, that children of Israel with children of America, can't you?
That would apply to America. It would apply to just about every country in the world today.
Canada?
To Canada, absolutely. And hear the word of the Lord, you children. And, of course, it really does apply to Israel today, too. Israel, a lot of people don't understand. There are those out there that, again, I preached on this, I think, a week ago, that thinks that there are those that are very anti-Israel. And I run into them, I talk to them, and they think that Israel can do, that Israel is the cause of every evil. And then there's the others that think that Israel could do no harm, could do no wrong. And so the truth is, Israel is an extremely wicked nation, like America.
Right.
And it's an extremely wicked nation. It's got a very high abortion rate, very high prostitution rate. They had one of the world's largest sodomite parades. And so that's the reality. They're a stiff-necked people. Now, here, he says that the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. You always like to quote those Barna reports, and I just had one of those Barna reports here the other day. And Barna has figured out that the church in America has become officially apostate.
Well, finally.
Well, we kind of figured that out a long time ago.
Yeah, okay. We did mention it a few years back.
Yeah, but we're the remnant, okay? The vast majority of people that fill the pews are biblically illiterate, especially those that fill the pews of the entertainment centers, the prosperity churches, the mega entertainment centers out there that are supposed to be called churches. And so let me tell you, folks, if you're in an assembly or a congregation, and one, you don't, your pastor, if your pastor is not an activist pastor, but he's not bold, okay, and he's not activist, he's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to lead you. He is supposed to be extremely biblically literate and to be preached from the Bible, but he is to be a leader there. And if he's not, and if he's not preaching from the King James Bible, I would leave there in a heartbeat. I would leave there, find a church where you have, it's an actual church, unregistered, New Testament, where the pastor is a real man of God, and I mean a man, too, of God. Now, here he goes on to say, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That applies to America so great. Again, there is such biblical illiteracy today, Joe. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's in the pulpit, too. Where does judgment begin, Joe?
In the house of God.
In the house of God. That's exactly right. There in
Canada, we've got over half the pastors surveyed in America rejected two or more of the five basic tenets of the faith. So, you know, half the church is rotten, because a fish rots from what? The head down.
That's absolutely right. But because of biblical literacy, people don't understand that. They sit there, and many of them don't have Bibles. They have the New Age perversions of the Bibles, and they're totally oblivious to their surroundings. They just don't get it, okay? And so here he goes on to say, by swearing,
even some of the good churches, you see a lot of people on Sunday, but Wednesday Bible study or something. People don't go to Bible study anymore. Just a very, very small remnant go to hear the word, to learn, draw closer to the Lord in love and knowledge. That's the biggest shame of all, is the lack of people attending Bible study.
That's true. But there's an extreme dearth of courage from the pulpit.
Yeah.
There's an extreme dearth of courage from the pulpit. Now, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. First of all, that right there, Joe, is the platform of the Democratic Communist Party in this country. That is Nancy Pelosi's platform. That is Joe Bama. That's his platform.
Yep.
That is the Democratic Communist Party platform. They're wicked and very evil people. Everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, there is no redeeming merits at all. Nothing from the Democratic Communist Party. There is nothing. There's nothing in there that has not gone totally dirty, totally bad, Joe. And so,
I'm sure not going to argue with you on that one, because you're right. They've accepted every sin, and they lie, they cheat, they steal, whether it's your money, your elections, your children, the country's future. I mean, yeah, they are the enemy.
They are the enemy.
The Antichrist system, the enemy of God.
If you are a Christian, they are your enemy. You're absolutely right. They hate God. And remember, some few years back during the 2012, when they actually voted God out of their platform.
Yep. And then they realized, oh, it offended a few many people, so they tried to stick him back, just because, not because they believed he should be there, but because, well, we lost a few voters. We can't have that.
Well, what happened was they knew there's the chairman. In other words, when he looked and he saw the majority wanted God out of there, he knew that, hey, we do this, the Republicans will use this to tear us apart. And if we do this, those Democrats that aren't totally corrupted, that might be have a little bit of a spark, any kind of just the least bit of decency left in them, when they hear that, and they say, well, you know, no, I don't want to go up against God. I you know, I might be a sinner, but I don't want to. They're going to leave the party, and they're going to take their money with them. That's what happened. So that's why he lied. He looked out there, and the majority of the Democrats there at the convention wanted God out of it, but he lied. And of course, that's what they do, by swearing and lying.
Mm-hmm.
By swearing and lying and killing. Again, I want to say that in this country, our sewers from coast to coast, our sewers run red with the blood of innocent children.
And old people, where they're trying to do the euthanasia, get rid of the old useless eaters.
And killing people off by the thousands with this so-called bioweapon that they call
right.
vaccination. That's
not
a vaccination. And so, now he says this, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fish of the sea shall also be taken away. Now, remember, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. And so here he's telling you it's not SUVs, it's not gasoline-powered that it's destroying this country. It's the sin.
Sin.
It's sin. This is what God has.
Bring God's judgment, and it comes with all kinds of everything from drought to flood to you name it, right?
Yeah, it does. In fact, Joe, let's look at one of those sins here. I'm going to do an article real fast, and that is this one. Psychologist claims unborn babies can give permission for abortion. This, you know, first of all, Joe, do you know what profession out of all professions has the highest rate of suicide?
I bet it's a psychiatrist or psychologist.
You're absolutely right. And where do people go who are suicidal? They go to these people. So you talk about the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. exactly. Well, most of the stuff I remember years ago, back in college, way back, you know, reading where most of the people went into psychology or psychiatry as a field because they had these problems they couldn't fix for themselves, and they went on a self-exploratory by taking the courses in school. And from what I remember, some of the studies, they were some of the sickest people around.
You're absolutely right. Today, they become socialist workers, so many of them,
yeah.
too. Yeah. Okay, so now listen to this article.
I want to go on. That line was just...
Psychologist claims unborn babies can give permission to be killed, to give permission. In other words, she's saying the baby in the womb can give its mother permission to kill that baby. Here's what this sick woman, Claudette Nattel, what this very, very sick woman, you know, it's kind of... You can read about her right in God's Word, the Bible, Joe. Did you know that? Over in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34, it says this, "Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocent, and I have not found it by secret, but upon all of these." In other words, it's what she has said, like what she just said right here in this article, that condemned her. That condemned her, and her skirts is found the blood of the innocent. But listen to this, Joe. "Lift up thine eyes into the high places." That's where they kill babies.
Right.
"And where thou hast not lain with, in the ways hast thou set them, as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore showers have been withholden, and there have been no later rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refuses to be ashamed." That's exactly these deathocratic women. That's exactly, they refuse to be ashamed. They've got absolutely no honor, no integrity, no decency at all. Now, listen to this. These women, and I've heard them bragging about using baby killing their child as birth control. And they brag about it. They brag about it, okay?
Yeah, I remember... Shout your abortion. We did several of those stories. Shout your abortion. Be proud of it.
Yeah, these are whorish women, very, very whorish women. But here's what he says about them. "How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See the way in the valley? Know the way that thou hast done? Thou art like a swift dromedary, traversing her ways. As a wild ass," you know, isn't that interesting? They use a wild ass, and that's the symbol of the Deathocratic Communist Party.
Party, yep, exactly.
"Used in the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure, in her occasion, who can turn her away, and all they that seek her will not weary themselves, in her month they shall find her." In other words, that's what it's like, a jackass in heat. That's
right.
That's what these women remind me of, okay? And this article, let me go back to this article. In the article, "Conscious Abortion, Engaging the Baby in a Compassionate Dialogue," in the Journal of Parental Prenatal Psychology and Health, psychologist Claudette Nattel encourages women to communicate with their baby before they kill it. Tell them how much they love them, say goodbye, and even get their child's permission to kill it. This woman is, sick.
She's criminally insane in my book.
Yeah. Nattel admits that the baby's humanity defines the baby as an unborn, the fetus as an unborn in the mother's womb at any time for conception. "Conscious abortion hinges on the belief that the baby in the womb can hear and understand the woman's thoughts and even telepathically communicate back. Family doctor G. McGregor suggests that someone having an abortion, meaning killing their baby, should have a heart-to-heart conversation with her baby in the womb, explaining how this is not a good time for her to raise a child, reassuring them that they are deeply loved. That is not a family doctor. That's a sick person. That G. McGarry, that's a very, very sick person. You know, and G. McGarry, better hope that he never runs into me, okay? Believe me.
She might even be a she, I think, yeah.
Okay. "It's important for women to make sure their babies know them, know they love them before they have them dismembered or poisoned. McGarry has guided women through the process, and says many of her, it's an unclean, a very, very unclean woman, a very, very unclean, evil and wicked woman. And I can't even read any more of this article. I'm so angry.
It's sickening. It goes on. With deep love and concern, ask the baby to leave, you know, to go ahead and die, don't want to die. It just, the longer you read, the sicker it gets.
It does.
And, you know.
Okay. Joe, we're going to have, very quickly, we're going to play this quick song, and then we've got a clip to play. And this clip, folks, you want to listen to this out there, because some of you out there listening may not be a human. You just don't know it. Go ahead, take her away.
Some people say that no one should be condemned to die. They say that it's unhuman and it's cruel. They say that it's not right, but those same people carry signs saying they support a woman's right to choose. Show mercy to the ones that never show it, and none to those that need it most of all. You've got the nerve to call yourself a Christian when you'll see a killer walk before you'll see a baby crawl. Churches have been known to make a stand, but now we see some churches bending to the will of man. They used to set a standard, and they seldom let it down. Church used to change the man, now it's the other way around.
Population, or at least those that took these shots for now, into a new species. They're no longer humans for purposes of law, according to the Myriad Genetics case. So what are they? They're people to you and I, but from perspective of definition in the law, what are they and what rights do they enjoy? And it just strikes me that these people could do this. They did do this without ever stopping to ask why. And it strikes me that they view themselves as gods, right? We are creatures of God. We're in the image of God. And it seems to me that they decided that wasn't good enough and they should make a whole lot of people the creatures of their own imaginations. August of last year, 2021, the military mandates came down. The Secretary of Defense issued an order that all military whatsoever, active reserves, National Guard, all had to become vaccinated. I use the term vaccinated only because it's simple and everybody knows what we're talking about. That mandate actually can't exist in the law because the Secretary of Defense is the one who made it. This has all been done before. In the anthrax scenario, about 20 years prior, where they tried something very similar, my co-counsel in the case actually prevailed. And as a result of that came some new law. In particular, at issue is the informed consent rights. So here we have a phase three clinical trial, to be very clear about this. None of these mRNA adenovirus vaccines, again, are FDA approved. They are emergency use authorization, which means that informed consent requirements come into play. In other words, nobody can force you to become a lab rat. So here comes this order from the Secretary of Defense requiring everybody to join into this, this experiment, 1.8 million people to be exact. At the same time, a lot of service members were complaining that, I've already had the bug. In fact, 200,000 or so military had expected to make that defense, which is actually part of military regulations as to why not to get this. So we filed suit on a number of grounds, number one of which is that this has already been addressed in 10 U.S.C. 1107 coming out of the anthrax case, which says only the president of the United States has the ability to waive service members' rights to informed consent. Not the Secretary of Defense, not anybody else. So the order itself is illegal. On top of that, there are specific exemptions entered into Army regulations, some of which go back to 1908, that talk about prior immunity. That one goes back to 1908. Disability, religious beliefs, and finally administrative. If you're not going to stay in the military, then what's the point of doing this? All of those were disregarded, all of them. So then we looked at, you know, how did we get here and why are we here? What is the emergency, first and foremost, because this has got a tremendously high survivability rate, even today. And back then it was 99.98% or something along that line. Not even taking into consideration, we're talking about military people who are fit as a function of their job, go through annual physicals, you know, aren't allowed to be unhealthy effectively, suffer diseases. So there was really no reason that we could quantify as to why this would take place in the first place. But we filed lawsuit against the Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, and the FDA in an attempt to, number one, stop this, getting an injunction or asking for one. And number two, calling into question the reasoning behind bringing a mass experiment to the market when there were already efficacious drugs. 37 of them we came to find that could treat the malady.
At this point, now your clientele is huge. You're representing how many people in the Army and military in the military?
So the entirety of the military, it appears it's somewhere around 400,000 people. Our case was dismissed on procedural grounds on the 18th. We're filing a notice of appeal. We haven't had our day in court. And by the way, all we were asking for in this anyway was a declaratory judgment. We wanted the judge to tell the military to follow their own laws, but 400,000 people or so.
This is a huge case, but what it led you to find is, I could say, even more stupendous. It's more mind-blowing than just they're not following their own rules. The president has to do a waiver. They're just doing it anyway. We've interviewed all sorts of military men and women. I just had on a Navy commander, Rob Green, who was telling me that, you know, despite his filing for religious exemption, they were denying everything. They're doing a pro forma thing, which is ridiculous. A whistleblower has shown that they're not taking anything seriously. And these are good, faithful men who are giving for their country, offering their lives for their country, and they're forcing them to take this experimental jab, which for many of them is abhorrent because it's abortion tainted. And we've done shows on that as well. But what did it lead you to find that is so hair-raising about gene therapy and what this really is?
In all cases, you're always trying to figure out what the defense is going to be, so you can get ahead of it. We did quite a bit of research in so much that we were largely ignored by the DOD for a long time. And so we started looking around. Is there any other way that they could defend this? Because very clearly they were not getting anybody's consent. They were coercing, threatening, taking punitive actions towards the service members, all in violation of the law. The Nuremberg Code was brought into the Uniform Code of Military Justice in 1957. Very clearly the DOD is violating all those rules. So it made us think, what possibly could be there? And it turns out that circa 2001, The DOD, NASA, other agencies started down this road of genetic modification. We also came to find that the informed consent requirements are significantly less. And so that made us think, you know, maybe that's the defense, is that, you know, this is experimental. It is gene modification therapy, otherwise known as gene therapy. So maybe we're just off on our legal analysis, and that's what this is really about. And I think that it is.
Let's stop there for a second, because I want to right away dispel the, you know, the charges of falsehood, because there are charges of falsehood. Everybody's saying, oh, they're calling it gene therapy. Give me a break. So let's just go to this clip of the head of Bayer telling Bill Gates and all sorts of high profile leaders, world leaders, that this indeed is gene therapy, and that nobody would have accepted it before COVID, but now they all have. Take a look.
The mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before.
So, Todd, tell us, in addition to this being mentioned on display, you have documents that show that Pfizer or Moderna, they're admitting themselves that this is gene therapy. Is that not correct?
Yes, they've never hidden it. From the very beginning, they said that they were going to use lipid nanoparticles to deliver RNA or messenger RNA or even synthetic DNA fragments to the user for the purpose of making that user's body create spike proteins. That by itself is gene therapy.
So now that we've dispelled that this is just, you know, some kind of imaginary thing, let's return to that NASA document. First of all, what year is that NASA document from?
2001, Future Strategic Issues, Future Warfare, circa 2025. This is from 2001.
So in 2001, they're projecting to 2025, which we're coming up to now, about these kinds of things. Give us, if you will, their sort of their mindset from 2001 when the U.S. military, NASA is looking at this.
It's a combination of NASA and other agencies, including DARPA and, well, for instance, the NASA Langley Research Center. That's part of the CIA. This is a combined effort. There's a few things that I take away from reading this, aside from the fact that it goes on for 113 pages. And that's just a PowerPoint. It's actually not written text in the traditional sense. It's all about threat assessment. It's all about how is somebody else going to kill us and how are we going to kill them? And you take away from this thing, there is no survivability. The technology is such that both sides, every side, is going to end up killing everybody. The part that disturbs me most about it is that the author uses a whole lot of exclamation marks. So, yay, we have directed energy weapons, exclamation mark. We have nanotechnology, it's next generation by 2020. Nobody will be able to escape it. It talks about all of those things, including effectively the bionet of things, harnessing people's humanity, harvesting their being into beyond what they call beyond artificial intelligence. I think that's where we're going right now. And then they compare the whole thing to our planet being a spaceship. This is its own microcosm, and we're stuck here. And by the way, we'd better do something about the population because there's too many of us, not enough resources. All of this is predicated on really one thing, and that to me is the absence of spirituality, the absence of God. This is all about man's creations. This is about men killing men. And you walk away from it, at least I did, fairly depressed to think that somebody put this time, energy, and effort into trying to figure out how to kill as many people as they could.
It is truly unreal. The analogy to the spaceship, and then they've said how they're adding too many people to the spaceship and we need to do something about that. So population control is built right into the system, and it's really it really does show the mindset. But where did you go from there, knowing their mindset, knowing that this is a sort of outlook from the U.S. militarily, but different government organs in the U.S.? Where did you go from there in your research?
The predicate to this whole thing is that nowhere in here really does it talk about peace. Instead of threatening each other, the presumption is that there's going to be a war, massive casualties insurance, and here that talks about, you know, why don't we try something else, like, you know, getting along or something along those lines. So we ended up looking at a variety of other things, including what is the law around this, being lawyers. And there actually isn't hardly any. Along comes a case in 2013, however, that relates to intellectual property rights as it relates to synthetic DNA. In particular, it's a Myriad Genetics case, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I can cite it exactly if you prefer. And it is called the Association for Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics.
So what's it about?
So this is about the intellectual property rights developed by the use of mRNA in particular.
Okay.
And what happens to the synthetic genome as a result of that. This is an argument over intellectual property rights in the new genome that they create from genetic therapy, genetic modification.
Right. And presumably they're talking about lab animals that they're going to modify their genes.
That's right. In this particular case, mice. It wanders into a variety of things. And I guess that's the point. They look at this as, whether it's a human or mice or anything else, it's almost irrelevant. There are humanized mice, right? They use them in labs all the time to test new drugs. So chimeras already exist, and they don't differentiate a genome to them as a genome.
What did the courts rule? This is a U.S. Supreme Court decision already.
That's right. This is what we call good law, meaning it's already happened. There is no higher court. This is the decision of the court. The only thing that can happen as a result of this is people follow it as law. Or if the legislature doesn't like it, then the legislature theoretically has the power to change it. And they do on occasion. So in this particular case, the holding is what really bothers me. It's on page 6, about halfway down. The sentence begins with, "It is also." So it states, "It is also possible to create DNA synthetically through the process similarly well known in the field of genetics. One such method begins with an mRNA molecule and uses the natural bonding properties of nucleotides to create a new synthetic DNA molecule." And that's it. So you can't, in the world of intellectual property, you cannot patent something that already exists in nature. If you change that, however, into something synthetic, that new genome is, in fact, patentable. You are creating chattel property, intellectual property rights in that new genome, and that's what this case holds.
Now, this is the same kind of thing we're doing with the vaccines, because they are mRNA vaccines, both the Pfizer and Moderna. And so if you can explain, what is that? And is that actually creating sort of a new genome within us, within people who take the vaccine?
So not sort of, it does. So the Supreme Court case says it. If you use messenger RNA to create a synthetic genome, that new genome is your intellectual property rights. That's the holding of the case.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, maybe it's just the synthetic DNA in that new genome that is, the intellectual property rights. How does one separate that? If these shots, which we now know go throughout your entire body, they're not stuck in your arm, they go everywhere. And if they're genetically modifying billions of your cells, that's the plan. Well, then how does one separate billions of cells from the other billions of cells? The simple reality is those that took these shots, messenger RNA ones, for sure, according to this document, are now the chattel property of the patent holders.
This has totally not come up for discussion right now. But actually, in documents you sent me, it has come up for discussion before. That's what I found so fascinating. A document that you sent over that is from the UK Ministry of Defense, along with the German Ministry of Defense, actually takes this up. I'm going to read a rather lengthy quote from it and then get your reaction to it, because I found this just incredible that I think it was from 2011. They did envision this very thing and what to do about it. This is, of course, in defense, talking about defense and therefore soldiers and so on. And that, of course, your case is taking up the soldiers' cases. But here's what they said. The document explains, by the way, this is a document put out by the UK Ministry of Defense in partnership with Germany's Bundeswehr Office for Defense Planning. It actually says, human rights and property law are examples of legal fields which may need to adapt as technologies become integrated with rather than merely used by people. People have legal rights and machines do not, but human augmentation will make it increasingly difficult to adopt this binary approach as machines are integrated with our bodies, potentially at a molecular level, which is exactly what we're talking about. As an example, they give that is the discussion about possibilities that humans may become cyborgs in the future. The term has many mythical, metaphorical, and technical connotations, but it reflects the idea that humans no longer merely used machines. We increasingly depend on them for our most human-like activities. Then it goes on and says, ownership of human augmentation technologies and the data they use and collect will need to be carefully considered. If implants become integral parts of our bodies, for example, people who wear pacemakers, often they do not have any rights to access data gathered and transmitted by these devices. Within the European Union, this problem is in part managed by the privacy law, General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, which regulates access to personal data. It's incredible that they envisioned this back then because they knew that they're going to get into this kind of gene therapy, gene modification, that it's going toward super soldiers or augmenting their military and then finding out what that will mean. And yet here we've done it on a global scale without this discussion really taking place.
Yeah, a global scale, still phase three clinical trials. So the entirety of the user populations, billions of people, are effectively lab rats. I'm unaware of any of them getting proper informed consent per the law. And I don't even know if anybody cares. It's really quite remarkable. In what you referenced, I think, is part three of that particular document. It asks questions about ethics. You know, should we be considering these things? The horse is already out of the barn. It already happened. And so you can tell, going back to the NASA document, the 2001 document, this was a plan, right? This didn't just happen. They've been planning it for a long time, and the military seemingly has been doing genetic modification experiments since 2005 on their soldiers with very limited informed consent requirements. They're a separate set of informed consent requirements. The only thing that's come out of U.S. law that I think has any bearing whatsoever on this, I take that back too. Number one is the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act that came out a few years ago. And that's great. You can't discriminate against somebody based on their genetic information. It doesn't talk at all about how about not genetically modifying people or giving them a choice in the matter. Secondarily, when you look at the law and the totality of it around the planet, it all seems to be based on environmental protection. The focus, Australia's is a good example, focuses on if there's an inadvertent spill, and we didn't intend to genetically modify, you know, some cows over in this field or whatever the case may be. That's their concern, not whether or not somebody has a voice in this or an interest in doing it to themselves. It's a foregone conclusion. And you find that in the 2001 document from NASA. All of this is happening irrespective of our desires.
Here we have the documents. So how did this figure into your case with them not caring? You had mentioned earlier about why were they not paying attention, not even concerned about it? How did that figure into your case?
It hasn't at all. The response we got out of the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, who actually defends them, was a straightforward denial. You know, the law actually can't be more clear on this particular subject. And they kept kind of referencing things that weren't even salient. And nowhere did they enter in the genetic modification part of this. It really didn't even address informed consent, even though this is an investigational new drug, investigational new device. It really wasn't addressed. They've just ignored it, just like they did their own regulation, AR40562. It's in their own rules, and they just ignore it.
It's absolutely unbelievable. One of the, I guess you could say, things get really strange when we go down this path and people don't know what to believe anymore. And that's why I wanted to bring you on to get the evidence out there so people could say, wait a minute, there's actually something to this, because it seems so far-fetched. It seems impossible. For one thing, the military has kept a lot of what it's doing behind the scenes anyway. But for another, it sounds so much beyond our realm of possibility. One of the things you mentioned is the liquid nanoparticles that are used here. The documentation is there for its use. What do they do?
So the lipid nanoparticles, yes, they're throughout the documentation. They're in all the protocols. They're in all the patents. This is one of six that I see delivery devices. And what they're delivering are payloads. And those payloads are fragments of messenger RNA, RNA, and DNA. Some of them, the other shots, will use adenovirus vectors to deliver the very same kinds of payloads. The point of those payloads, and my understanding in the Pfizer shots, there are eight different types of fragments that they're delivering, eight different types of genetic modification that they're creating, at least, is they have to slip past your body's immune system. Okay? So historically, apparently, the nanoparticles, lipid nanoparticles have been in our food. I think there's 3,300 products or so on the market today that have them. Our bodies do a fairly good job of defending against it. So they've actually included other proteins taken from the HIV studies, again, back in the 2020s. To disarm our autoimmune system, to slip the lipid nanoparticles, their molecular size, frankly, into the user cells. In this particular case, it's the cardiovascular cells, for the purpose of reprogramming those cells to produce these S proteins, the spike proteins.
What do you see as the grave danger there with regard to the use of the liquid nanoparticles and the payloads?
Because there's no end to it. So we did mass spectrometry studies on both the Moderna and the Pfizer shots. And what we found is that the ingredients are effectively the same. A huge amount of polyethylene glycol. They mentioned lipid nanoparticles and adjuvants. The point of it is that nowhere in those documents do they actually talk about what the payload is. What messenger RNA are they delivering? What DNA fragments? So we don't know what's in these because it's not disclosed in the filings with the FDA. It's in the patents. You can see that. And if you read through the patents, you look up what all these different things are. One of them probably turn you into a flying monkey. I really don't know. Some of them seem to utilize, for instance, E. coli, chimerically blended, I guess, for lack of a better word, with Marburg, you know, elements of Ebola, all these other pathogens seem to be actually included in these payloads.
We're really in the midst of quite the experiment, more experimental than people perhaps even know, because it's not only, yeah, we couldn't have the time to develop this properly, so we developed a quick vaccine, sort of, that we think will work. Hopefully it will. We'll just go for it anyway. It's much deeper. It's much beyond that. It's a totally novel technology that's never been used really on humans before, and given and foisted upon you without consent of any kind. So what is your conclusion from this? What's your takeaway? We're going to bring you back on to get more into this, but what's your takeaway right now? And really, what's your takeaway for the people out there? What should they be doing?
The takeaway is this, and funny enough, I think it was in Jurassic Park where the scientist, the mathematician says you stood on the shoulders of giants and you never stopped to ask whether or not this should be done, just whether or not it could be done. And that's exactly what's happened. You're transforming the entirety of the world's population, or at least those that took these shots for now, into a new species. They're no longer.
All righty. That, folks, again, was attorney Todd Callender, and he represents 400,000 military addressees in this country. We're coming up to a break, so we will be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice
of the Christian Resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.